Good evening and welcome to Hour 3 of Blue Gold Radio on WEC 89.7 Eau Claire. I'm your host for the hour. My name is Courtney Kippers and we got a lot of great stuff coming up tonight. First, we're going to throw it over to Glenn for Blue Gold Radio News. Following that, we have my Country Hopping with Courtney segment. This week, I talked with Fabiano from Brazil. He is visiting us here for the year in Eau Claire from his home country. And then after that, we'll hear some Brazilian music from Fabiano's native land. And we'll hear that from Elizabeth to kind of get a taste of what that is like. That'll be followed by sports with Kyle and Tyler. And after that, we will have our Person on the Street segment with Jenna Van de Zandt. And after that, we will have Triple Threat with Nick, Austin, and Ellis. This week, they talked with Eric Efforts from the UW-Eau Claire men's basketball team. And after that, we will have Everything Eau Claire with Eddie and Brandon. And this week, they talked with student body president Sam Fish. And after that, we'll have my event pick of the week. So that is our three. Here is Glenn with the news.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Blue Gold Radio News. I'm Glenn Olson. The UW-Eau Claire campus saw its largest protest this school year, with faculty, students, and community members all expressing their dissatisfaction with Governor Scott Walker's budget proposals. Raina Beutel has that story.
Shouts of outrage and opposition filled the frigid winter air at UW-Eau Claire campus Friday, where a mass of students, faculty, and community members united to show resistance to Governor Scott Walker's proposed UW system-wide cuts. According to a video Q&A released to the student body by Chancellor James C. Schmidt Friday, Governor Scott Walker's $300 million system-wide cut, announced February 3rd, amounts to an estimated $7.6 million cut, or a 23.1% cut to state funding. The cut comes on top of an already $4.5 million deficit faced by the university. These cuts, along with a tuition freeze, will be imposed over the next 2 years in exchange for public authority status of UW schools. Jim Phillips, a university chemistry professor
and president of the Faculty and Academic Staff Union on campus,
urged the crowd to understand in what ways the faculty and students would feel these cuts through a loss of faculty and future tuition spikes.
So the choice is, if the public support goes down, either my pay gets cut, or my colleagues get laid off, or you guys have to pay more. So where we win in this situation together is by continuing to advocate for more public support. That's the Wisconsin idea. That's what makes things like this happen.
Bree Bryant is a sophomore who marched at the rally and says as a worker in the Office of Disciplinary Programs, she will feel the effects of the cuts firsthand.
I have the privilege to work with a lot of really wonderful faculty and staff, a lot of really great professors. With these cuts, some of them will be losing, their spouses are losing their jobs, they're losing their jobs, and it's really sad to see some of these great, well-educated people go.
Anna Schwanebeck was an organizer of the rally and is a current student at the university, and says as a women's studies major, her own program is in jeopardy. She says the goal of the protest was to bring students and faculty from all sides of the argument together to stand against the cuts toward the university.
It's not just a union thing or a teacher's thing, although it is one of those things. It's also about the students, and it's about saving our universities and the Wisconsin idea.
Barbara Gosch, a four-decade student who spoke at the rally, says she is one of many people who have built their lives around public education and says these cuts will bar countless others from having the same opportunities she once had.
It was public education that not only opened doors, but new worlds, and that offered opportunity. This is one of the reasons I agreed to speak here today. It's because I would like Governor Walker to hear my message and understand some of us will continue to follow and live by Wisconsin's mission statement that means to search for the truth.
Schwanebeck says even at this point, Walker's budget is still speculative. Specifics of the budget have not been released. Schwanebeck says any end result of faculty layoffs depends ultimately on how the university balances the budget.
Some of the laws pertaining to the way tuition can increase will be gone. As soon as the tuition freeze ends, the university has to make up for the debt that it's already running because of the tuition freeze currently. and it will have to make up for the cuts.
Shawana Beck says her next step will be to send the letters written to legislatures after the rally and to continue to oppose the cuts. For Blue Gold Radio News Now, I'm Marina Boydell.
A local poet is featured in an art exhibit in Minneapolis. Brian Liga reports on how the combination of words, sound, and technology have created a new art experience.
What will the future bring? Cyborgs, Star Wars, intergalactic imperialism, planets...
Joel Pache's Poly-Sci-Fi was a poem, then a song, now a work of art, and uses synthetic sounds to mime artificial intelligence.
The scientific community, of course, is engaging with this debate about AI, but I think it is so crucial that the arts have a voice in this debate as well.
The UW Eau Claire English professor collaborated with artist and bandmate Kevin Zappa on the piece, which was on display at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design from late January until last Friday.
Sure, and it's about the concerns surrounding, that Stephen Hawking is actually talking about right now, the concerns surrounding the development of AI or AGI, artificial intelligence.
Pache's expertise is in romanticism, and like his poem, he aims to connect literature with nature and science.
And in the legacy of the Romantics, we have this notion in this day and age that we as humans and technology are entirely separate things and maybe even mutually exclusive.
To break down the mutual exclusivity outside of his poem, Pache has his students read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, one of the first known works to intertwine art and science. He walks his English classes through UW Eau Claire's Putnam Trail to explain how the paths created by humans can limit them.
It is okay if we walk and run on that path, but heaven forbid we should stray from it. We are dangerous to nature. We are mutually exclusive to the natural world.
Pache and Zappa are in a band with other Midwest musicians called Irie Soul and recently recorded an album in Justin Vernon of Bon Iver's studio, which is set to release in the fall. For Blue Gold Radio News, I'm Brian Liga.
Virtual self, internet doctor diagnoses your mental health. Cell phone like prayer, speaking to your hand, I wonder if there's anything up there.
To listen to Pache and Zappa's full version of Poly-Sci-Fi, visit Blue Gold Radio online at WUEC.org. UW Eau Claire Chancellor James Schmidt probably isn't juggling messages from infamous FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover warning of black militant groups on campus. However, Leonard Haas, Eau Claire president during the 60s, was. While scouring 200-plus boxes of correspondence from chancellors and presidents of Eau Claire and its predecessor, Wisconsin State University, Eau Claire, for the Chancellor's Centennial History Series, history professor James Oberle came across the copied letters from Hoover warning about radicals and the dangers they pose. That began research, which will be presented February 18th, in the lecture FBI Surveillance of Campus Protests at Eau Claire State, 1968 through 70. The presentation will be from 4 to 5 p.m. February 18th in the Woodland Theater in Davies Center. A UW Eau Claire English professor explored the life of what he calls the original Siamese twins. Simone Foster has that story.
The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire's very own senior lecturer of history and English, Dr. Joseph Orser, is very excited about the publishing of his new book, The Lives of Chang and Aang. It has gotten good early press from the New York Post, the Daily Mail, and other well-known publishers. It has also been featured in the 23rd issue of the Volume 1 magazine, Chippewa Valley. The book reflects on national ideas of race, class, and gender through the lives of two conjoined Siamese twins in the 19th century, brought to America to be put on exhibit. Orser started this research during his dissertation at Ohio State University in hopes of people being allowed to see differences from the 19th century until now and to make connections between them. He claims to see the same experiences from Chang and Aang parallel to the Hmong community of Wisconsin today. He uses his personal background to have a better understanding of Asian Americans as well as mixed races.
My mother is Thai, and that fact is actually central to everything about the book, to be honest. It kind of explains my initial interest in the Siamese twins.
Orser says if he does get a chance to teach an American history course or a 19th century American course, he would definitely draw on lessons from this book and stress the process and methodology of it rather than just the content. Molly Beeson, a former student of Orser, says this kind of story is unique for our campus because it gives information that so many of us have never been exposed to. Dr. Orser did very well in crediting lives that we should all take time to study. The Lives of Chang and Eng is now for sale on Amazon, and academic reviews are said to be out within the next year. Reporting for Blue Gold Radio News, I'm Simone Foster.
That's all the news for tonight, but we'll be back next week with more campus and community news. For Blue Gold Radio News, I'm Glenn Olson, and you're listening to 89.7 WUEC FM Eau Claire.
All right, thanks to Glenn and the rest of the news team for that update in Blue Gold Radio News. You're listening to Blue Gold Radio Hour 3 on WUEC 89.7 Eau Claire. I'm your host for the hour. My name is Courtney Kippers. And next, we are going to go right into my segment. I am hosting an international student segment this semester, and it's been really fun so far. This week on Country Hopping with Courtney, I talked with Fabiano from Brazil. So here is that. Good evening and welcome to Country Hopping with Courtney. I'm your host for this segment. My name is Courtney Kippers. And this week I sat down and talked with Fabiano. He is studying at UW-Eau Claire this semester from Brazil. He grew up, he'll tell you here, he grew up in a smaller part of Brazil and now is going to university in a bigger city. And so he's kind of adjusting to life back in a smaller town compared to his city where he's living with 3 million, which is obviously quite different than Eau Claire. So here is Fabiano chatting a little bit about Brazilian culture. Okay, go ahead and talk into that mic and see if we're working here. Pull it a little bit closer to you.
Okay.
Yep, you won't break it.
Okay.
All right, say something again.
Hi.
Okay,
can listen?
Yep,
okay.
Yep. So where in Brazil are you from?
Well, I'm from a city called Curitiba, which is in southern Brazil. It's closer to São Paulo. So okay. I think, yeah.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your hometown. What is it kind of known for? What is it like there?
Okay, it's actually a quite big city. It has about 3 million inhabitants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and how can I say? It's a very nice city, actually. It has lots of parks. And, well, actually, I wasn't born there. I was born in a small city. So okay. I went there to study. And, like, because this city has lots of different universities. So a lot of people go there to study.
Okay.
And I don't really know what to say, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Do you like it there?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, I've been living there for 3 years now.
Okay.
And I really want to live there, like, for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very nice city.
Cool, cool. So what are you studying?
I'm studying economics right now.
Okay.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, so tell me kind of some of your favorite things about Brazil. What do you like about?
Well, about Brazil, I really like our culture, let's say, which is very, like, open to different cultures. Like, I mean, Brazil was colonized by Portugal, but we have people from a lot of different countries, like Germany, Italy, even Africans. We have a lot of them right over there. So it's really nice to see how all those different cultures can live in the country and give Brazil this identity.
Like, right, that's great. So in your time kind of in America, what kind of misconceptions have you found that, like, Americans have about Brazil? Are there things that people think that just aren't true?
Well, usually they think about, like Brazil is on, like, the Amazon, like, forests, Indians, monkeys. That's what they think about Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And that's a big part of the country. But Brazil is much more than just that. We have, like, big cities.
Right.
We have it's a modern country, we could say so.
Right.
So it's more than just the beaches and the forests, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. So how has kind of your university experience been different in America than in Brazil?
Well, in Brazil, when you start a course in university, usually you can choose really which classes you're going to have. Mm-hmm. So, like, they just tell you, like, oh, if you are having, if you're studying economics, you have to take these classes. You can't really choose what you're going to do. And here you have this opportunity to choose different courses. You have your major and you can have a minor. We don't have that in Brazil.
Okay.
So you only have like the major and that's it. You can't really.
And then you're kind of told what to
take. You can really focus on something different, let's say. And we don't live on campus. That doesn't exist over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People, I mean, I've moved from another city to study. So I had to rent a small apartment around campus, but it's not on campus. The university doesn't provide that for us.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Are your class sizes bigger? Or are there more people in your classes?
Well, my class has around 40 people in it. And I don't know, here some classes that have 70 people, others have like 10.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, it changes a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of different.
Yeah.
So what was it like going from living in a bigger city to coming to Eau Claire? Was that a hard adjustment?
Well, so far it's okay.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Eau Claire is a small city, but you have a lot of places to go out, have fun with your friends. But I miss some things from my city. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to go out, you have more options than you have here, and you can find everything you want. So if you want to go somewhere different, like, something unique or something like that, you can find it there.
Right.
Here is a small city, so you don't have that opportunity, let's say.
Yeah, that's true. If you're just tuning in, thanks for joining us on Country Hopping with Courtney. I am your host, Courtney Kippers, and I am chatting with Fabiano, who is an international student from Brazil. Every week on this segment, I get a chance to sit down with students at UW-Eau Claire studying here from all around the world. So it's a really cool chance to hear kind of what they think of our culture and also to hear about their own culture. So we are chatting about Brazilian culture here today on Country Hoppin'. So what are some things that you've really enjoyed about being in Eau Claire this year?
Well, I really like the people here.
Okay.
Everybody's very friendly and everything. Even if you meet someone on the supermarket or in Davis and you're having lunch, people are saying hi, thank you. So that's something very nice here. I really like how people, how they talk to me and everything. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah. So what are some things you kind of miss about home?
I miss the food a little bit.
Uh-huh. What kind of food do you like at home?
Well, we usually have like a lot of pasta. It's not that different from here. I mean, the general idea is the same, but have some small things. I can't really tell what it is, but it doesn't taste like home here, you know?
Right.
Like the small things, some seasonings they put inside is just different.
Right.
But it's not different, like the type of food, let's say, but there's something in it that's different.
Okay.
Can't really explain.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about Brazilian cuisine. What kind of dishes are kind of common of Brazil?
Okay. We usually eat a lot of like rice and beans.
Okay.
And Italian food is very strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there were a lot of Italian immigrants that came to the country like 100 years ago. Okay. So we still have the culture of pastas and everything. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, I eat a lot of Japanese food over there.
Oh, okay.
So that's something very common. And we really like meat. Like big steaks and everything. So that's something people eat like on a daily basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like that, to eat that every day, but a lot of people do it, so I'm starting to miss that.
Yeah.
At least every once in a while, it's nice.
Right. Cool. Let's see. So what are kind of some differences between, you know, like America and Brazil, or even just things about America that you didn't expect before you came? Is there anything that kind of stands out in your head?
I can't really think of anything right
now.
No.
Very cool.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. All right, so let's see. What else should I know about Brazil? What are some other things?
Well, it's interesting because this weekend is Carnival in Brazil.
Oh,
which
okay.
is like the big party.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a big holiday in Brazil. So people don't work Monday and Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Monday and Tuesday, they won't work.
Oh,
so
okay.
most people are traveling, they're going to the beach.
Oh.
So there's like big parties where everybody goes to the street, they dress up in different ways. It's a very nice party, actually.
So are you sad you're not there for it this
I
year?
I am, yeah. I was just seeing my friends on Facebook, they're all posting pictures like, oh, let's go to the beach today. And I'm like, oh, I won't be there. I'll miss this party.
Here.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. I think that's all I need from you, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, that's fine, really.
All right,
thanks.
Perfect. Well, thanks for tuning in to Country Hopping with Courtney on WEC 89.7 Eau Claire. I've been your host for this segment, Courtney Kippers, and that was Fabiano, an international student here at UW-Eau Claire, joining us this academic year from Brazil. And so to hear more of that, check it out online, and we will be back next week. Thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in to Blue Gold Radio Hour 3 on WEC 89.7 Eau Claire on our second broadcast of our semester here at Blue Gold Radio. That was my international student segment, and next we are going to stick with the theme and pass it over to Elizabeth to hear a little bit of Brazilian music from Fabiano's home country.
Hello, and you're tuned in to Blue Gold Radio on WUEC 89.7 in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This is Elizabeth, and we're on to the international music segment, music from around the world right now, after listening to something from Courtney. So, thanks Courtney for that, and now we're going to be listening to Brazil music. We're going to listen to four different genres of music. We have Foro, Batucada, Bossa Nova, and Samba this week. I hope you guys enjoy. And the first genre we're going to listen to is Foro music. And this song is by Domingos. And the song is called Botinho. Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed Foro music from Domingos. The next music we're going to listen to is called Batucada, and this music has African heritage in it from the Brazilians, because they had African heritage in their background. And then the song is called Magalha by Sergio Mendes. It's a pretty cool song with a lot of African kind of beats.
Vem Magalhinha Rojão, traz a lenha pro fogão, vem fazer armação. Hoje é dia de sol, alegria de coió, é curtir o verão.
Vem Magalhinha Rojão, traz a lenha pro fogão, vem fazer armação. Hoje é de sol, alegria de coió, é curtir o verão.
Dê.
All right, and thanks for being tuned in to Blue Gold Radio on WUEC 89.7 in Eau Claire. This is Elizabeth, and you're listening to Music from Around the World. Right now, we're on to our third genre of music. We're listening to Bossa Nova. This artist is named Antonio Adolfo with the song Odeon. A fun fact about this genre is that it is jazz music, so it's something that you wouldn't really think comes actually from Brazil, but it does. So I hope you enjoy and keep listening. Genre for the week. This is our featured genre. It's samba music. So this is a Brazilian classic. So they have another fun fact is that they have music festivals just with samba. Like no other music genres except samba. So that's pretty neat. This song is called Bololo and the artist is Alcione. Hope you guys enjoy and thanks for listening to Blue Gold Radio.
Certas coisas nesta vida são boas, mas proibidas, que é melhor deixar pra lá. Pobre andar com gente fina, velho namorar menina, brincar com as águas do mar. Você não olhou no espelho, nem ouviu o meu conselho, foi aí que se estrepou. Eu falei, avisei, agora sua batata já assou. Eu falei, avisei, agora sua batata já assou.
Foi um bololô,
foi um bololô, foi um bafafá,
uma confusão,
foi um trelelê, você nem pode imaginar.
Foi um bololô,
foi um bololô, foi um bafafá.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I loved those picks this week in international music from Brazil. Makes me want to travel and think of a warmer day there rather than what we're dealing with here this weekend, this frigid, frigid weekend. Let's check in with Kyle and Tyler here on Blue Gold Radio to see how the Blue Golds perform this weekend in their sports. And after that, we will go right into the Person on the Street segment with Jenna Van de Zandt.
Welcome to the Sports Recap on Blue Gold Radio, WUEC FM 89.7. I'm Tyler Henderson, and today we once again highlight some men and women in the UW Eau Claire indoor track and field program. The UW Eau Claire men's team traveled to Minnesota, as did the women's team, for the St. Thomas Invitational this weekend. And the men's team found some success with freshman Josh Thorson winning the 3,000-meter run at 8 minutes, 17.9 seconds, which is good for the top three in the nation and broke a school record, while another freshman, Dylan Lau, finished third at the time of 8:41.9. Thorson was not the only one to break a record, as Brandon Zarnoth, a senior from Appleton, set a school pole vault record jumping 15:11, which is a top 10 mark nationally. While he took second, Zach Grish and Greg Peterson tied for third. Thurgood Dennis had a good meet as well, winning the 60-meter dash with a time of 6.94 seconds, which is top 10 nationally, as Dennis is no stranger to the top 10 in the nation. And speaking of being no stranger to that, Roger Steen, a senior, won the shot put with the mark of 58.6, which is second nationally, and also won the weight throw with 57.225. In the 800-meter run, Adam Moline finished second with a time of 1 minute 55 seconds, and Corey White, a senior, placed third in the high jump at 6.6. For the women's track and field team, Carly Fahler, a senior from Oak Creek, led the way for the Blue Golds, finishing first in the 200-meter dash and the 60-meter dash, those times first and second in the nation respectively. Kim Drewski added to the winning, finishing first in the 60-meter hurdle in a personal best 9.46 seconds in this meet. Lucy Ramquist, a senior, finished second in the 5,000-meter run, 17 minutes, 21.98 seconds, which is good for a top 10 time in the nation as well. Two Blue Golds finished in the top three in the long jump, with Marina Egan coming in second and Fahler finishing in third, pulling double duty on the day. Both the men and the women will return to action on Saturday, traveling to Stevens Point for the Point East Bay Invitational. For Blue Gold basketball, the women beat UW-Platteville 62-57 on Wednesday, and the men's basketball team also beat Platteville 80-62. Then on Saturday, the men's team took on UW-Lacrosse, winning 69-52, while the women's team lost to UW-Lacrosse 65-49. The men's hockey team had a huge weekend, beating third-ranked Stevens Point 5-2 on Friday, before losing to Stevens Point by the same score, 5-2, splitting the weekend with the third-best team in the nation in Division III. This has been the Blue Gold Sports Recap. I'm Tyler Henderson, and stay tuned for more Blue Gold Radio.
My name is Jenna Vandezand, and this is the Student Opinion segment on Blue Gold Radio. This week, we will hear opinions from students about their involvement in campus organizations. Students I talked to were either unaffiliated with an organization or were really excited to talk about their involvement with their student group. Mass Communication major Nicole Vanderplas talks about her involvement with PRSSA.
Okay, so I'm in the PRSSA organization, which is Public Relations Student Society of America. I've been in it for a year, and I'm a mass communications major, so with an emphasis on public relations, so it's the PR club on campus. That's why I joined it. I really wish I would have joined. I've been a PR major since sophomore year, and I didn't really know as much about the organization, and I kind of didn't want to join it alone kind of thing. So I just joined it recently, and I'm so upset I didn't join it earlier. It's an awesome organization. We've gotten to do, like, we have speakers that come in all the time and talk to us about agencies and corporate PR. We do workshops, which we get help from, like, career services and stuff like that, and other faculty members that have really good information for us. And then we do, like, agency tours, which have been super cool to, like, get out there and actually see different agencies and how they run. But, yeah, it's just a really good group of people, and I love being in it, so it's probably, like, my favorite thing on campus.
Music education major Forrest Clevin-Peterson talks about his involvement in various music and dorm organizations.
Yeah, well, I'm a part of the Blue Gold Marching Bands. I joined that organization, mainly because it's one of the biggest Division III marching bands in the country, and it's just a great time being there. I'm also part of the Statesman. That's a really fun time, too. We have to do that as a music education major. You know, we have to be part of the Statesman our first year as a guy, and that's a lot of fun. You really get a sense of brotherhood with that, along with singing with a great choir, one of the premier groups on campus. And then I'm also a part of the Murray Hall Executive Board, which is a really good community in Murray Hall that helps plan events, has things for its residents, such as spaghetti dinners, pancake breakfast, things to get community within the residence halls.
Social work major and recent alum Libby Richter talks about her involvement with political and human welfare organizations.
Okay, I'm Libby, and I'm a recent alum, and I was actively involved in Advocates for Choice, College Democrats, and Student Senate throughout my college career. Student organizations were an amazing part of building my leadership skills and being a part of something bigger. It was amazing to have a group of people who believed in what I believed in and had the same passions and were wanting to support what I wanted to support and help make a better world.
Tune in next week for more student opinions about current events, pop culture, and happenings around campus. I'm Jenna Van de Zand, and you're listening to Blue Gold Radio on 89.7 WUEC FM Eau Claire.
All right. Thanks, Kyle and Tyler, for that check-in with Blue Gold Sports. And thanks to Jenna Van de Zand for her Person on the Street segment. Next, we are going to throw it over to Triple Threat. Austin May, Ellis Williams, and Nick Erickson sit down every week with the Blue Gold Athlete. They are all three members of The Spectator. The Spectator has been the official publication of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire since 1923. 91 years later, it's the same name with a different style. The Spectator will be bringing you exclusive online as well as multimedia content throughout the week on spectatornews.com to complement a print edition every other Thursday. Don't miss out on the most up-to-date campus news. Check out The Spectator on paper racks across campus as well as at spectatornews.com. Here's Triple Threat.
Hey, Eau Claire sports fans, it's your usual trio here of Nick Erickson, Ellis Williams, and Austin May. Gentlemen, in sports a lot we hear the term signature win, and our athlete guest today here on spectatornews.com as well as Blue Gold Radio 89.7 is Eric Efforts of the men's basketball team, and he and his teammates got such a signature win Wednesday night when they defeated UW-Platteville 80-62 in Zorn Arena. First, and Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And let's just talk a little bit about that big win Wednesday night against Platteville. I mean, how did it feel to pick up that conference win this late in the season against, you know, a premier program?
It was a huge win for us. I mean, they were third in the conference standings right now, and to get a big win like that, you know, at the end of the season, going into a conference tournament and stuff like that, it's good for us to kind of build that confidence in ourselves. And we're really looking forward to this next game coming up too. But this game was a big win for us, and hopefully it carries out to Saturday.
Since you've been here, you guys have had your problems with the Pioneers. What went right for you guys Wednesday night, and how awesome was that to pick up the win in front of the home crowd? You know, sometimes you're on the road, people don't get to see that you guys were home. What went well and how awesome was it?
You know, I think what went well was we really, really played some defense. I mean, we executed our game plan, and we took some of their players out of the game that have hurt us in the past. And, you know, Stocky did have a good game against us. He had 24, but he's really the only guy that hurt us. The first game, Jake Manning, their big guy, hurt us, and we ended up doubling him in the post, and he ended up scoring 0 points. So that was really big for us to take that 24 points that was scored on us last time away, and having them try to find 24 points somewhere else. So that's what really went well for us. And tell you what, it felt good to get that big win, and it was a big win for us overall.
This season, you guys have shot well behind the 3-point line. I mean, as a primary ball handler, how nice is it knowing you can go down the floor and you have several guys who can make those big shots for you?
Dude, it is absolutely unbelievable. Like, you just feel comfortable out there doing whatever you want to do. You know, driving or coming off a ball screen, you know, at any point in time that anybody on our squad can put that shot up, and you have a really good feeling that it could go in. And when we're hitting them, it's unbelievable, the feeling out there. And just, you kind of feel like you're, you know, kind of above, you know, everything else. And it's a great feeling, and it's awesome to have the guys around us that we do.
Once again, joined by Eric Efforts here on the men's basketball team here on SpectatorNews.com as well as Blue Gold Radio 89.7. Eric, you know, this year, especially as of late, you've kind of increased your point production. I know you had a career high, you know, a couple weeks ago, just scoring the ball a lot more than, you know, perhaps we've seen in your first two seasons here. You've gotten some more one-on-one isolation calls. You've been hitting some big threes. Just kind of talk about kind of a more aggressive approach that you've been taking, at least scoring-wise, on offense, especially late.
You know, it just kind of came down to the fact that this is it for me, you know. And I don't want to, you know, come here and never make the conference tournament. You know, it's just one of those things where I just got that confidence, and it's like, this is it for me. And if I don't do it now, I'm going to do it never. So it was kind of one of those things where, you know, coach is getting more confidence in me, and the staff's getting more, my teammates are setting me up better. And fortunately for me, they're going down, and it feels good, and it's big time, and it's fun. So this is it, and we got to get it done now.
It kind of going off what you were just saying, I mean, you're a senior. You've made clear that it's sunk in that the end of your collegiate basketball career is coming. I guess, how hard has it been to balance the emotions that come with that with still the grind of regular schoolwork and whatever social life is going on outside of the program?
You know, it's at this point, you know, I try not to think about the end. It, as much as it's always going to be there, you know, you always want to say, we want to make it to the national tournament. We want to, you know, get to the conference tournament. We want to win the conference tournament, kind of things like that, to where, you know, the end is really far from here. And, you know, it's kind of starting to sink in more than it has in the past. But I'm just trying to go in it one game at a time and make that tournament. And if we can do that, I'm gonna be a happy guy.
You know, you're obviously not the lone senior out there on the court. Longtime Blue Gold, Lewis Miles out there with you. Talk about your guys' growth as leaders this year and how that experience has helped you guys win three of your guys' last five games here.
You know, it's, I don't even really know how to explain. It's just one of those things where you're out there and you just kind of try to, you know, help everybody out. And whether that's being a leader, whether that's, you know, trying to help out, you just try to get your team in the right position, try to motivate them any way you can. And me and Lewis, you know, I feel like we kind of have that symmetry and chemistry to where we know what we need to do for our team and what we need of them. And, you know, hopefully you can do your best at getting the best out of them. And you know, if you do that, you've done your job. So as a senior, that is definitely what we're trying to do. And I think we're doing an okay job so far.
Absolutely. And for you personally, for those who don't know, Eric started his collegiate career at UW-Superior, and Coach Cyberlane, of course, started there as well, and moved to, or became Eau Claire's coach, it was three seasons ago now, and Eric came over with him. So just kind of talk about, Eric, you know, how special it is to kind of work with just one collegiate coach your entire career, even though you've been at two different schools.
Yeah, you know what, it's actually been really awesome. You know, a couple guys on this team, like Lewis, he's been through, I think, two coaches, another couple guys have been through a couple coaches, and it, you know, they say the, you know, even the guys that I played with when I was a sophomore, that was their third head coach, and that's really crazy to me to think about, because all the different things that, you know, every different coach wants of you, every different just certain things in general that coaches want differently out of players. And it's been awesome to kind of learn Coach Cyberling and kind of know what he expects of you. And it's been great coming over here with him and just kind of getting better, you know, kind of as a unit. It's kind of fun. And this year we have a chance to do something that hasn't been done here at Eau Claire. And hopefully I can be a part of that with Coach Cyberling. And we'll see where it goes from there.
You and Adam Jelter as well both came from Superior 3 years ago. Looking back on that decision, why do you think that was the right move for you and Adam, and that bond you three have? You know, obviously Adam isn't on the floor this year, but that bond that you three have carrying over, how special is that?
You know, the switch, it following Cyberling, it really didn't, when I heard he got the job, it really wasn't a question for me. I kind of knew I was coming here. You know, I was going to miss my Superior teammates, and, you know, they're a big part, you know, of what happened my freshman year. Like, that was a great year for me in Superior. I can't deny that, but knowing what can be accomplished when Coach was the head coach at Superior kind of showed that we want to carry this over to UW-Eau Claire. And, you know, me and Adam, I remember him being in the dorm rooms and Coach saying that he was the head coach at Eau Claire, and we just said to ourselves, I mean, we got to go. We got to go with this guy, and we got to help him be successful. And, you know, Coach is a player's coach. You know, he does a lot for us, and all we want to do really is help him be successful. And hopefully, you know, we can kind of push the envelope this Saturday by maybe getting in that conference tournament and keep winning.
Yeah, on the topic of Adam, I mean, how hard was it for, you both personally and from the standpoint of being on the team when you learned he was going to be done for the season?
You know, I'll tell you what, it was actually, it didn't really sink into me right away. But after a while, I kind of thought about it. I was like, wow, that was the last basketball game, competitive basketball game, that I'm ever going to play with that guy. And it kind of sunk into me where it was, you know, like we came into this together, and it kind of stinks that we're not going to go out together on the court anyway. So it was tough right away. But, I mean, that's what happens, you know. sports are full of injuries, full of, you know, different things that happen. And, you know, you just kind of move forward and learn from everything.
Speaking of kind of, you know, learning what sports are all about, in situations like that, you get to see other guys that, you know, maybe wouldn't have played such a crucial role this year step up. You've had a couple of those instances this year. You know, Tyson Kleens came off the bench, or, you know, your sixth man to one of the conference's leading scorers. You have guys like Jat Martinick, obviously, bearing huge shots the other night against Platteville. To lose your top scorer from last season and, you know, still be alive for that sixth spot in the WIC tournament, kind of that goal and vision of playing in the conference tournament, still very much alive. Just talk about how important depth is for this team.
You know, it's huge. I mean, anytime you lose a top scorer, you think, you know what, they're in trouble. But, you know, we had Tyson come in. He was, you know, a Division II player, very, very, very good player, very good shooter. So he kind of stepped into Adam's role a little bit, and he's done a great job, very, very good job. And then I think Jack in general is just growing. You know, it's not really the fact of, you know, he's stepping up. I just think he's growing, and I think he's starting to learn college basketball a little more. And, you know, Jack has been unbelievable the way he's been playing, and the confidence he has to go to the rim, the confidence he has to shoot the ball. And, you know, he was big on Wednesday, and hopefully he's big Saturday. But, you know, depth is huge for us, and being able to go to a lot of different guys at a lot of different times, it can help us, and it can really hurt the other team. So hopefully we keep that stretch going where anybody can give that devastating blow any night.
Eric, we can wrap up with this. You know, there's three conference games left. The Blue Golds, Oshkosh Lacrosse, race for the playoffs. Only two of those teams are going to get in. You know, Coach Seiverling said it best after the game here, and I quote, "There's a lot that can happen between now and the end of the season. We're not in yet." So what do you guys need to do, and how are you going to ensure that Eau Claire will be playing playoff basketball this year?
You know, I just think it's effort and heart, to be honest with you. It's coming down to that. You know, everybody in this conference wants to be in that tournament, and everybody wants it, you know, just as bad as the other. And it comes down to sheer will and sheer love of the game and to you know, to get to that next point. And, you know, I know that we are going to be fighting, and I know we are going to give all the effort we can. And if we don't make it, you know, we can kind of, you know, we did give it our best, and I know that's what we're going to give. And I know that if we do give our best, we are going to make the tournament. So, hopefully we get a big crowd on Saturday, get everybody out there, and get that win.
And for those Blue Gold fans who are wondering, Eric and his teammates almost took down number one UW-Whitewater a few weeks ago, had a late lead against Stevens Point, so if you guys get in, of course, anything can happen. Eric, we're really looking forward to watching the stretch run of you guys, and once again, we just thank you a ton for coming in today.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. We'll be back here on Spectator News exclusively. Blue Gold Radio listeners, thanks for listening.
All right, thanks to Nick, Austin, and Ellis for that installment of Triple Threat, and thanks to Eric Efforts of the UW-Eau Claire men's basketball team for joining us on air here on Blue Gold Radio this week. All right, it's time for our last segment of our broadcast for this second broadcast of the semester. We're going to throw it over to Everything Eau Claire to wrap up our show. Brandon and Eddie sat down with student body president Sam Fish.
Please welcome now to Everything Eau Claire on Blue Gold Radio, President Sam Fish. Mr. President, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to be back.
You know, Sam has been here several times, and we forget because he's become a friend of the show, right, Eddie? I'm here with Eddie Sanchez, my co-host. But he is the president of the UW-Eau Claire student body, and boy, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. In fact, late breaking news just now, this week we will see a protest sponsored by the UW-Eau Claire College Democrats in response to the recently announced budget that the governor has talked extensively about. Your immediate reaction to that?
It makes a lot of sense that people are kind of organizing and displaying their rights to protest. They actually invited me to speak at that, which was that was a nice gesture. I couldn't because classes got in the way. I have a couple tests coming up, which isn't fun.
Sure.
Too bad, but
sure. And we're told by our sources that exams are more important. So
that's what I've been told. I've never been one to believe it.
That's what our sources tell us.
Our sources.
Yes, but I don't trust those people. No. But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Don't let the host throw your train of thought.
Not a worry. With the protest. Is that what we're talking about?
I think we're talking about the protest.
My train of thoughts. It is the train has sailed. But Yeah, I think that there's a lot of good to be had. You can really get a point across when you have that many people grouped together. And you know, while they're doing the kind of the activist approach, trying mm-hmm. to get the word out there and try to bring some media attention to it or whatever the end goal is, the Student Senate will be down in at the Capitol the 24th for the Rally for Excellence. We're going to invite as many people as possible. I think we have some 35 to 40 signed up so far who will chip them down on a bus, and we're all going to be kind of advocating on behalf of UW Eau Claire and some of the things that are special to our university.
So out of curiosity, just like what are your personal like views like out of curiosity on the whole budget system cutting thing?
Well, I mean, I'm not thrilled about budget cuts. You know, you only can chip away at the foundation for so long before something has to give. And I think that's kind of what we're going to see with this round of budget cuts, where we will see a different university if this entire $300 million goes through. That being said, you know, the idea in its entirety isn't all awful. The added mm-hmm. flexibility that would be added through the University of Wisconsin Public Authority, that's good. A lot of that would be very helpful. It would provide universities with a way to procure funding in a more constant manner. It would also allow us to make things like building projects get, you know, picked up a bit faster.
Sure.
You know, we've been sitting at that residence hall project for however many years now, whether it's at 10% completion. Well, if you stay at 10% completion for 4 years, you're not really going anywhere. So, you know, this added flexibility can be a good thing.
Sure. And now this budget, we're talking as if it is set in stone, but nothing is really concrete at this point. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, the budget is just a proposal that the governor gave out. He's a very, you know, popular governor to most of the Republican legislators, but mm-hmm. Even some of their feedback has been kind of, well, wait, let's pump the brakes here. Maybe 300 is a bit too much. The Senate and the Assembly will both introduce their versions of the budget, and then it'll go forward from there. Ultimately, that's what we voted on, and then it would be submitted to Governor Walker at the end for approval. So we don't really know. We won't have 100% idea of what's going on until
sure.
July 1st.
We're talking with Sam Fish here on Blue Gold Radio on Everything Eau Claire. He's the president of the student body of UW-Eau Claire. Eddie, you had a question?
How do you think that's like going to affect the UW system? Like, I hear like certain like classes are going to get bigger or like things are going to change. What are the effects like if this budget does end up happening?
Yeah, you'll probably see class sizes increase. You know, it won't be easy to keep all our faculty and staff around. So yeah, the classes might get larger. Classes will probably get larger. You'll see things like efficiencies created. Maybe jobs are merged into one. Maybe positions aren't rehired when people retire. We'll be seeing a drastic drastically different campus, I think. And that's, you know, say the sky is falling, but
sure.
There will have to be changes if this entire thing goes through as it is now.
I'm going to throw a word out there that I don't want to ever hear again, but confluence, because a lot of people like the confluence, and I actually, you know, it's just the word. We heard so much of that for so, so long, and I think a fear amongst a lot of people is that we're going to be in stagnation with the confluence. Is that going to be advancing quite quickly, do you think? Are we at a place, how exactly does this budget pertain to the confluence project?
Well, the budget outlined $15 million in GPR for
right.
For the confluence. So, as far as getting the funding, it seems like, you know, could we have used $10 million more? Yeah, but mm-hmm. you can still make one heck of a building for the amount of money we have
yeah.
coming in. So, you know, I think it will move forward. I think people understand the value it provides, and I think people understand that, at least legislators understand that. This could be the model at which the public-private partnership can really function, that
mm-hmm.
we can say, you know, we brought together the university, we brought together the community, and we made a building, you know, we made something great happen. So I think it will go through. Like I said, could we give us a couple more $1 million, could we make a better building? Yeah, probably, but we'll have all the bells and whistles still.
Sure, you could put in a couple new big-screen TVs and show some more movies, like Pulp Fiction, that's going to be shown this
Absolutely.
Weekend at the Woodland Theater. You know, there's not to get into the dark side here of our politicians and get all House of Cards on you, but Governor Walker is probably running for president, and he's gearing up for it. It looks like he has a team in place ready to go. Is there any legitimacy to this, you know, the political pluses and minuses of this whole budget situation? Is that a calculated thing? Would you just probably as common sense, one would have to assume that he's looking at the national implications of something as local as UW-Eau Claire, the campus, and the budget that is attached to it. There's probably national implications to that.
Yeah, and I'm sure...
I don't think I'm getting to X-Files here with that.
Hopefully not. No conspiracy theories yet.
No.
But do the steel beams burn?
Yes, they do.
So that's a good question. I don't know if this is, you know, part of a grand scheme where he can look like a hero or something. I'm only a 21-year-old when it comes right down to it.
You're a kid.
I'm a kid. I'm a youngin'. But when I was in a meeting that he was chairing in Madison, there was one moment where it went from just a normal meeting, you know, next order of business, yada, yada, yada. And then one of the representatives spoke out against something that was going on. And for that 45 seconds, you could really, really see that not only was Governor Walker the most politically savvy person in the room, mm-hmm. but he was probably the smartest. So sure. I would be real surprised if he had just kind of thrown a dart at the number 300 and went with it. I'm sure there's something behind it.
I agree.
With the whole Confluence Project, how do you think that's going to affect our arts like program and like education system here at the university?
I think it'll be allow us to bring more attention to it. I know, you know, we're already renowned as one of the, you know, very good schools for music and arts and things of that nature. And now we just have a building that says, hey, come look at how great we are, which is
absolutely
something we haven't done in the past. You know, we do this humble Midwesterner thing and we don't like to raise our hand and say, hey, actually, we're pretty impressive over here, too. So I think
we're kind of a big deal.
We're kind of a big deal. We have many leather brown books and my apartment, weirdly enough, smells like rich mahogany. So
you've seen Anchorman, right, Eddie? Mm-hmm. OK, good, because okay. He hasn't seen Pulp Fiction. So, well, okay.
So yeah, I think it'll draw more attention to it. So maybe that helps us, you know, recruit new music majors, maybe recruit new art majors.
Absolutely.
Maybe it brings some economic development downtown when we have, you know, the people that graduate from Eau Claire and decide they want to get a job in the cities. Well, maybe they stick around because they have, you know, a couple of new great buildings downtown that they can live in and they can
sure.
know, kind of be a part of the community in.
That's beautiful.
What's going to happen with the old building? Are you guys going to turn it into a parker system, break it down, turn it into something else, or a new building might come in? Or what's going to go on with there?
With the current building we have, like for that space, mm-hmm. this will just be an addition to. Because right now the facilities we have are a little out of date, a little undermanned. So mm-hmm. this will be bringing just a new component to it. I don't know. I'm not positive right now if what the plan is. I'm sure, you know, it's our university. I'm sure yeah. we have a plan. We always have a plan mm-hmm. for something. You know, I think that will still be the predominantly where you have your intro level classes, where you have your, you know, introductory performances, things like that. And then the Confluence is kind of when you have those upper level performances, upper mm-hmm. level music courses, where you really need, you know, that bigger stage, that more concert or orchestra kind of feel.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Mr. President, Sam Fish, you've been enlightening and charming as always.
Thank mm-hmm. you, sir.
Please come back again. We'll talk at you down the road. Sam Fish here on Everything Eau Claire. I'm Brandon Craker.
And I'm Heriberto Sanchez for 89.7 UWEC Blue Gold Radio.
And that was Everything Eau Claire, which wraps up Blue Gold Radio this week on WEC 89.7 Eau Claire. And I have been your host for Hour 3, Courtney Kippers. If you're looking for something to do next weekend, Fireball 2015 is here. It'll be taking place on the 27th and 28th. So I guess we have a few weekends, not next weekend, but the following weekend is when Fireball is, excuse me. But tickets are on sale for that, and they're selling out quick. So if you want tickets to that fun event, check that out. For more information, you can check out uwec.edu. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Blue Gold Radio.